Yeah. What's the word, ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens? Introducing myself as always, Big Old Dog, Mr. Money Man, bringing y'all a pre-recorded podcast as always, live to me and pre-recorded to y'all. Same toilet, different shit, you hear me? Today, I got a special guest, Miss Gabby Bull. You know, very intelligent young lady, very different, very outspoken, very intelligent. And, you know, she don't take no shit neither. So today's topic, you know, we're going to be talking about, in her case, that's very rare, you know, single fathers raising children or single fathers raising a woman or girl growing up to be an adult, so to speak, like in her case. So, you know, introduce yourself, Gabby, and tell them, you know what I'm saying, your experience as a child or a girl or a daughter of a good father that particularly raised you.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean to put the bull in my name, but, you know, I'm going to just give you part of my government. Bull is definitely what it is, bullock. But people know me as Gabby. And, you know, I know we have some things in common. We kind of, you know, been around the entertainment industry a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was raised by a single dad who was a musician living in Los Angeles, California, you know, place where a lot of dreams get broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely a different experience. Like, I know a lot of people go through the experience of kind of having like the deadbeat dad. Well, in my case, it was a deadbeat mom. My mom had me when she was 17, and her and my father were married. They got divorced when I was 2 years old, and she kind of just wasn't around at all. In fact, there were many times where, you know, but you can't blame her. Like, now that I'm grown and I look back on it, I'm like, how would you feel at 17 having a kid? You know, you haven't lived none of your life. You haven't even had a real job yet, you know? I used to wait for her on the stoop, and she would say she was coming in, and she just wouldn't show, you know? And my dad had to be the one to be like, hey, you know, it's time to come inside. And, you know, he was always, one thing about my dad, I will say, and thank God for good dads, is, you know, he would always, he never would say anything negative about my mom. Even though, you know, she hurt me a lot, you know, it was always like, I'm going to show up and then I don't come. Or even like when I was with her, she dropped me off at the babysitter for the weekend so she could go on her dates. You know, he never spoke negative of my mom because he just didn't want to cause trauma for me. It was already traumatic, you know, having a split family. But he just didn't want that. And so I got to give my dad props for that because I know that was hard with a lot of the stuff that we went through.
So tell me a little bit about your dad's like history and, you know, was there any struggles with you being a single father? And, you know, basically, you know, give him the meltdown, like who did your hair and who taught you girly stuff and all that stuff, you know?
Oh gosh, hair was a whole thing. But so background on my dad. My dad is a Vietnam vet.
Okay.
So he went to war. He was like at the very tail end of the war. And, you know, came back with his GI Bill, got a house. That was the house that he had with my mom before they separated. But, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so, you know, for someone that really was kind of disenfranchised, like, black men, a lot of times, like, if you didn't have a way in, especially in California, it's where it wasn't really a lot of black people, you know? If you didn't have a way in or someone to open a door for you, a lot of black men were disenfranchised. And so my dad, he, you know, did what he could. He was a musician. He was working at Capitol Records for a little while, but then he quit because he was like, they're going to steal my shit. And to be honest, they probably would have, you know. So he actually had a girlfriend, but he was primarily a stay-at-home dad. He had a studio. We had a studio in our house, and he was making music. But he was also just hustling. I mean, not like selling drugs or anything, but just hustling. You know what I mean? Whatever he could, like, play music on the street, he would look out for people. And, like, he was, like, that neighborhood guy that would look out for people. And to be honest, I don't even know all the ways he got paid. I just know that, you know, we always have food on the table. And it was scarce a lot of times, you know, but... You know, he had a girlfriend who worked, and he stayed at home with me. And, yeah, his girlfriend was actually kind of like a substitute mom to me. We're still close to this day.
Wow. So, let me ask you this. I mean, you can prefer not to answer if it's, you know, touchy and emotional to you. So, your mother, right? Like, where is she currently? And you know, do y'all have... some type of relationship? Y'all cool? I mean, at the end of the day, she's still your mother. She gave you birth. So, right. You know, what y'all got going on?
Well, we have, you know, our relationship is so tricky, you know, because she's just different than my dad. You know, my mom went through like 3 marriages, you know, by the time she was, I mean, she got married the last time when she was 40 years old. You know, she went through another engagement after that, you know, and my mom's beautiful, okay? Every man wanted to be with her. I mean, she was just so beautiful. And I think that was a crutch for her for many years, you know? And the way my dad raised me was so different than that. It was like, you're gonna have to do it for yourself. You know, a man might not provide for you. You know, you're going to have... Because I think he didn't want me to be like my mom. My mom now lives here where I live in Atlanta. And we have a decent relationship. But my mom, the problem that she still has and that she always had and what conflicts with our relationship is that she just doesn't want to face the truth about a lot of things. You know, whether it had to do with the past, you know, there was, and I'll tell you one example of this. Nobody liked my mom and my dad's family. My dad is like a big clan. Like there's like over 300 of them. And nobody liked my mom because of the way she was with me. And, you know, at one point when we first moved to Atlanta, like this was like 90s when my mom first moved here. I wanted to go back to California because I wasn't used to not being around my huge family. And she, rather than let my grandmother take me, my father's mother take me, because she knew that my grandmother didn't like her, she let me live with the aunt whose boyfriend ended up raping me. And wow. I'll tell you, that was, and just being transparent, I was 16 at the time. You know, he used to climb in my window, and it wasn't like a forceful rape, like holding me down, but it was one of those things where he was grooming me from the time I was like 12 years old.
Well, tell you what, no matter how you put it, rape is rape. Being a weirdo is being a weirdo. There's no skill on that. You know, actually, when you're bullshit like that, you're breaking the Richter scale and being weird, you know, and God don't like ugly, so, you know, continue.
But even with that, she wouldn't accept accountability, you know, for the decision that she made to let me go live with my aunt rather than my own grandmother, you know, and it took her, God, 10 years to apologize after that, you know, and so those are the issues that I have with my mom because... And I also had other issues. You know, being a woman, it's like I never had the mom that was like, okay, you got to do your laundry like this, or you have to clean yourself like that. You know what I mean? Cooking. Like my dad, he wasn't a great cook, you know. There just wasn't a lot of domestic qualities that I grew up with. And, yeah, it was definitely different. And sometimes I think back on it, I'm like, what would my life have been? Not that I would have traded, you know, because my mom was doing her thing. And, you know, even when I was little, she would ask me like, hey, do you want to come live with me? Because my dad, you know, he had some drug problems. you know? And I was like, nah, I'd much rather deal with this, you know, than being left alone and just not having the certainty of when she wasn't going to be up under another man, you know? So my dad, you know, he would take me to the park every day. He taught me to read by the time I was 3 years old, you know? And yeah, he had his work. He was in his studio, but he always made sure I was good. And I just didn't have that comfort with my mom. So I think, yes, our relationship does suffer even to this day because of that. But she's still my mom. I still love her. She's still my mom.
Yeah. So I got a couple questions for you. First and foremost, have you forgiven her and have you spoken to her about this? And I mean, you said your dad was on drugs. So like, did that kind of affect you just a little bit? Like, you know, was he doing hard drugs? I mean, was he alcoholic too? I mean,
there was drinking, there was cocaine, there was weed. But I don't, but that was just the LA scene. You know what I mean? Anybody, like my dad was friends with a lot of like people, like one of the guys that was in The Godfather and won an Oscar for that movie. That was my dad's friend, you know? It was just, it was Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? So would I say he was abusing drugs, but it wasn't to the point where he couldn't be who he was. And it wasn't to the point where he couldn't be a good dad. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But so as far as the apology, as far as my mom, you know, that was like pulling teeth to get that apology out of her. And we've even tried therapy, but see, my mom is the kind of person who just shuts down as soon as you start trying to make her accountable for stuff. I could just talk to her today, and I was like, see, mom, this is why your children sometimes don't want to talk to you, you know, because my brother acknowledges it, and my brother even told me, I have a half-brother with my mom. I'm the only child of both of my parents, but I have a half-brother, and he never knew his dad, and he basically told me one day, he said, you know, you need to give up on the relationship that you want to have with mom and just accept it for what it is. And I said, you know what? You're smart.
That's true. That's true. So I guess, you know, the drug pandemic during your era and you seen your dad doing it, it didn't affect you at all. I mean, and as of what I'm trying to say is you wasn't bi-curious enough to even try no drugs or nothing, right?
Oh, no. I remember one time I must have been like 8 or 9 years old and my dad had a line of cocaine out and he was like, Janina. Oh, my real name came out, but y'all call me Gabby. But he said, Janina, do you see this? Don't ever do this. And I listened to my dad, you know, everything that he told me I did, I was a very obedient child. And I was like, and I saw how people would talk about him in the family because he did do drugs and drank and stuff like that. And I was like, you only got to tell me one time. So it never really influenced me. You know, honestly, I didn't even smoke until I was like any weed or anything until I was 22 years old. Like I definitely was not. And even with that, like, I don't even do that anymore. Like, I'm so, like, I don't drink. I got, you know, plans. And the way I see my dad could have been so much more successful if he didn't have certain vices, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's dope. Well, at least he was smart, you know. I guess he did a pretty good job. I mean, you're still alive, healthy and well, and all that good stuff. So I want to say this real quick, right? Now, you know, we face statistics in the world that's, you know, being occupied and tallied by a government, which we know the government has always been lying to us and nothing they say is true. You know, even when they lie, they have to tell a bigger lie to fix that lie. And they tell so many lies, they think they tell the truth. You know, you lie so fucking much, being a compulsive liar, you're so used to doing it, it doesn't even affect you anymore. So we live in a society where, you know, they say that, you know, black households have fewer fathers, which is true. You know, we don't really have to run statistics because if you travel enough, you look around, you clearly see most households are fatherless. Now, I will say this, doesn't mean that the father's not in the child's life, but when a father does his job as a father, he doesn't deserve any credit, just like a mother doesn't, because that's your job. When you bring a child to the world, you're supposed to take care of that child. because nobody gives a mother any credit when she's a single mom doing her thing. And I think
I think that,
you know, as a father, you know, salute to him because it's very rare, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. Because it doesn't apply to you to get no rewards and no brownie points when you're doing your thing. As a father, like me, for instance, I have one daughter. She's 20 years old now. And, you know, at the end of the day, when I was out there, you know, gang banging, selling dope, bribing, doing what I do, dealing with all these women, I didn't make no excuse. When my daughter needed diapers, I was there. Her mother stopped breastfeeding. So when she needed infant meal, I was there. When she needed to ride her bike or learn how to ride her bike, I was there. When she needed to learn how to wash behind her ears and wipe a certain way because she's a female, and, you know, I was there. When don't let guys touch you here, I taught her ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, don't put this in your mouth, don't take this medicine, don't drink such and such, drink water, eat fruits. I taught her that, you know what I'm saying? I don't pat myself on the back because I'm supposed to do that because I wish I had a father figure or mother figure there for me to tell me and teach me all these things. And I was raised by my grandmother. But I will say this, though, in the Black community, because I'm going to speak on the Black community because we lack a lot of things. We have single parent homes, and, you know, a lot of these parents struggle to work. They need babysitters. And we need to watch who we leave our kids at home with, because sometimes you trust that lady because she can be some type of pedophile. People need to understand women are not.
Yes. I'm so glad you're talking about this because, you know, women can be pedophiles. In fact, I actually know, I have a friend of a friend who, you know, when he was young, you know, like he was having sex with an older woman when he was, you know, 13, 14 years old. And I'm sorry, if a woman is 35 and you're having sex with a 13, 14 year old boy, that's rape. It's called statutory rape, you know, and I just think it's not looked at the same for men. But that kind of, in a way, it still takes away your innocence, you know?
It does. And, you know, in society, little boys, you know, I wouldn't say we mature mentally faster than a female, but we definitely mature sexually faster than a female. So with that being said, when a boy, see, men, boys, we think different. Even as boys, we think different from women and girls. So like by us having sex with an older woman, we think it's cool. These are brownie points. We can go brag to our cousins and brothers and homeboys. Hey, yeah, man, you know, I'm fucking older woman. Versus telling our dad, we don't know what his reaction might be. But even sometimes the dads be like, damn, I was doing the same thing, boy. I'm getting your brownie points. When a girl does it, she's a slut or a fast whore, or the guy's a pedophile.
Don't get me started on that whole Boosie thing where he was talking about his son, feed his son prostitutes. I just can't get with it, you know?
But, you know, as soon as his son catch something or get robbed, like he basically catch something he can't get rid of, and something happens to him, then he's going to have that guilty conscience.
Yeah.
The same reason why, you know, teachers on, you know, if you dislike homosexuals, you're grown, you know, you have free will in the name of God. You can feel the way you want to feel and do what you want to do. Nobody can tell you how to feel and how to think and what to believe in. That's your prerogative. But, you know, you can't belittle other homosexual people when your own daughter came out to be homosexual.
Well, yeah, you know, and that whole homophobia thing is a whole other thing, you know, because it's like, my brother is gay. He's married to a white man. And, you know, the thing about it is, but I will say this. I think some people are born gay. And I think some people are gay because things have happened to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that they've had men that were pedophiles, you know, do things to them. And that, I mean, it was the statistics. So for y'all that don't know. For y'all that don't know, I have a law degree. And one of the things that they did when we first got to law school was, like, we had a series of, like, conversations in that first week. And they were saying, giving us the statistics on gay people. And, like, I think 50% of the people that were gay had been sexually assaulted or something crazy like that. I'm like, yo, the writing's on the wall, you know? Not that, like, I think my brother was born gay. I think he was truly born gay. But a lot of things that happen to us are because of society and, like, the problems that we have in society, you know? I mean, and people could argue me down on that, but I'm just convinced that that's what it is.
Okay, educate me on that part, though, right? Okay. Okay. I do agree that sometimes when people are gay, I think it's a mind thing, it's a mental thing. It can be a mental disorder, especially when you've been tampered with as a child and you don't know no better. You're afraid and naked and afraid. How do you use that term? Naked and afraid. You come here naked and afraid. You're gonna die naked and afraid. You're a child. You're vulnerable, and you don't know any better. So you know you only do what a person tell you to do. Sometimes you don't know. Till you get older and you feel like, oh, it's not right, because a child know when something's not right and if something is right. They God give them that intuition, and God give them that, you know, that type of wisdom. Just like children can see things that with the naked eye that adults can't see, like a child can see a ghost before we can, right? So educate me on the part where you said people are born gay, like even if it's something scientifically that you can prove.
They've done studies in animals where they say that, like, at least in every species, of hetero species, like, I'm not talking about, like, lizards and stuff, but I mean, like, mammals, that in every, like, mammalian species, that 3% of that species is, you know, has homo tendencies, to where they don't want to mate. They try to mate with, you know, even though it's not biological, like 3%. And so, I mean, I don't, you know, this is statistic, you know, that's out there. And so I think that there is going to be, it's a much smaller percentage of people that were born gay than actually are gay. I think that what we're seeing right now is we're seeing, and sometimes it happens with women that have been raped when they were very young and they just don't like male energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they become gay because they can't take male energy because of trauma. And for all the LGBT people out there, I love you. You know, I'm not saying that is your experience, but I do think that some people become gay or maybe become trans because of some trauma. And who knows what the actual percentage is. But I just know that all the people that are gay are not just gay because they were born that way. Because we have a lot of people, you know, friends who, I'm sure you know somebody that was straight, like, you know, all the way up into they were 25 or 30, and then all of a sudden they were gay.
Definitely, I do. Okay, so my next question is, right? So you said they did a study on mammals or humans?
Mammals.
So it wasn't humans?
It was, no, like they studied like every species like that was like mammals. And they said, you know, there's a tendency for like a 3% margin of those animals that wanted to mate with their same sex.
Okay, so what about the humans though? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't, you know, I think you with humans, you get into too many variables because it's like, how did you grow up? What were your influences? You know, how did you feel about men or women in your household? You know, like what happened to you? But like I said, there was that statistic that, you know, was revealed to me when I went to law school about, you know, that that people in the gay community suffered at much higher percentages from sexual assault than regular straight people.
So basically you're saying that these gay people, the majority, which you're saying, were were victimized, and
I would be careful with my words. I don't want to say the majority. I'm just saying I don't know what the percentage is, but I think that there is some percentage that we need to account for that may have become gay, you know, and they weren't maybe born that way. But I don't want to speak on majority or percentages because it's something that we don't know.
But you do have gay people out here that will admit a lot of them were victimized and it forced them, or they chose to become gay because it was something that was okay. Put it like this. Now, that was an old rumor and old saying back in the day. Now, this is what I read. I don't know if it's true or not because I wasn't born back then, but a lot of things that we're learning are learning top behavior. So we don't know what's true and what's false these days. So I will say this, though. I read a book. It was written by Willie Lynch. And Willie Lynch was from Great Britain somewhere. And he was big on slavery and controlling the slaves. He actually came here and taught the Americans and the Ku Klux Klan how to control the black man and kill him and destroy him in front of his woman, because he's the alpha. And if you kill the alpha or you destroy the alpha in front of the female, she's going to bow to you. Same reason why they taught that if you destroy the woman's mentality and her nervous system while she's pregnant, the baby's going to come out the same way. That's why a lot of black children are born nervous and shaky all the time.
My dad definitely was one of those kids. And honestly, like, see, you opened up a whole other portal where we're talking about, like, the effects of slavery and how many, you know, they used to call it buck breaking, you know, and, like, what happened with men. And so, of course, you know, we're going to see higher percentages of gay men in our community because of that. Because these effects linger on. But because we had the church and people were like, oh, that's so terrible, then you have the down low movement, you know, the DL movement. And so there's so many things that were so taboo for black people that we couldn't even live in it. And I think now it's like, it's how we get on this topic.
It need to be talked about, because me personally, I'm not afraid to talk about stuff that most people are afraid to. I'm one of them brave guys, you know. You only live once, man, and somebody got to hear it, and somebody got to see it, eventually.
Yeah. I feel you. But yeah, I think that the aftermath of slavery brought a lot of things that we're still struggling to deal with as people, you know. Mm-hmm. But just getting back to the whole, like, single dad thing, for me, I wanted to talk about my experience because I was pretty much an only child up until I was like 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I did have like other half siblings as I got older. I was the only child that my father raised, though. But the funny thing is, genes are very strong, you know? The genetic ties, like, so I have a brother that I've never met, and sometimes we talk on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But he was actually taken by the state because his mom was a drug dealer. And, you know, his mom was a drug dealer.
Oh, I thought you said she was abducted. My bad. I'm here.
No, his mom was a drug dealer. And so he was like a ward of the state. Him and his brother, my other brother, were wards of the state for a while. And, you know, it just, I can imagine that his experience with my dad as a single dad would have been completely different, you know, like if my dad had custody of him, like he had had custody with me. Like for me as a girl growing up, it was like, well, you know, my dad was very much like, you don't have to give these niggas nothing. They gonna want you, you know, because I just grew up a really pretty girl, but also I was like very little. I was short. I'm 4'11 now still, you know what I mean? And like, I just grew up to where my dad wanted me to be a tomboy so bad, but I wasn't having it. But I could fight you under the table. My dad taught me how to box. You know, he also, some of the bad side effects, these were some of the bad side effects, because I had such a tumultuous, like, home life with my mom and my dad and drugs and the family kind of looking down on him, everybody talking shit, everybody arguing all the time. I was very violent as a kid, and my dad liked that. It's like if somebody picked a fight with me because I was the littlest girl, you know, he was like that guy that would lock you out the house, like you can't come back in until you fight this person again. You know, so I was always on the verge of getting expelled, always on the verge of, you know, like just fighting people all the time. I had a lot of anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, my dad used to always tell me, don't cry. Like I would be in trouble if I cried. It got to the point where as an adult, I literally had to make myself sit and watch Oprah and teach myself how to cry. And that was traumatic for me, just being a young woman, like not knowing how to feel my feelings, you know? So that's what happens when you don't have that mom around that naturally women feel their emotions. You know, it's not, I hate when men say we're emotional. We just feel our emotions. It's not taboo to feel our emotions, you know?
That's true. I think men are emotional too, because testosterone is an emotional chemical. Mm. When you boast your chest up at another man, just like a gorilla boasts his chest up, he's in his feelings. He's emotional. That's competition. Same when a woman's jealous at another woman for having longer hair than her, being prettier than her, or attracting more men than her, or because her man broke his neck looking at her when they drove past. That's an emotion. You emotional. You in your feelings. So I think everybody has an emotion. Sometimes men can have more so than women. That's just my opinion.
Right, but don't you feel like men are, it's okay, like as a man to feel an emotion as long as it's considered a masculine emotion versus an emotion that some men would consider weak, like crying or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of nature, but I will say this. Confidence and pride has always been the biggest clash. The biggest sin of all time was pride. Men are extreme prideful beings. For us to have so much pride, we sure have a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
That's why I think that our brain is just as emotional as the woman. Because how are you a prideful being? When you have so much pride, you're supposed to be full of joy and full of confidence. But you're so insecure with a lot of things. You'd be surprised the things that men will be insecure about. I've literally heard guys ask their girl, was his dick bigger than mine's? What does another man's dick have to do with?
I hate those kind of questions. But yeah, you know what? And that's the thing. I think as a woman, we're naturally attuned to that, though. Like, we're naturally, I'll tell you, you know, I don't want to speak too much on relationships, but I'll tell you, I remember one time being at the Cheesecake Factory. This is when celebrities used to just be out, and it was fine for, you know, them to be seen before all the cameras and iPhones and everything. And Usher was there that night, and I was with my boyfriend. And I guess he was staring at my ass. And my boyfriend at the time was like mad. And I turned around and I can't see behind me. I'm just looking up at him and he was like, doesn't he see that I'm with you? And I was like, who are you talking about? He was like, Usher, he's right over there and he keeps staring at your ass. Da, 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 da. And in the moment, of course I wanted to have a fangirl moment, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew I couldn't do that because of his ego. So I just was like, it's okay, I'm here with you, you know, why are you worried about him? You know, I immediately had to cater to his insecurities. Because it's like, who cares if somebody stares, you know? I'm naturally a pretty girl, people are gonna stare, you know? That's why you chose me, right? But it was like, I couldn't even enjoy the moment of like, oh wow, you know, that person thinks I'm pretty. Because I had to cater to his ego and his insecurity of like, this man can probably take my girl, you know? And that's the part that women, I think, is sad for us, that we have to always be like catering to the insecurities.
That is true. So I'm assuming if he wasn't there, it would have been a different story, right?
so funny. I mean, I don't know. Actually, fun fact, I used to be a dancer, and the My Way video, that was right around that time. And the girl that was in the My Way video, I used to dance with her. We went to high school together.
Okay.
So, you know, and I knew people that knew Tyrese, and, you know, who knows what could have happened. I mean, water under the bridge now. I'm still trying to see Usher, though, for my birthday.
You're going to have, hey, that's one guy that when he come into town, he sell out shows, buildings, arenas. You don't get no parking spaces. Oh, I mean, girls you've never seen before come out.
But speaking of the gay thing, you know he's bisexual, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, for those that didn't know, I mean, we're going all over. But actually, so he got sued, you know, for spreading herpes. And like, there was like 5 people that sued him and said, accused him of giving them herpes. And one of the guys in the lawsuit that he settled with, well, one of them was a guy. And I mean, it's been said, you know, but all that has roots to Puffy. Like, I already know where all that comes from. And again, the assault, the abuse as children, you know.
Yeah, I guess P. Diddy is, and who else? What's his name? Jamie Foxx. All of them guys.
Yeah.
Damn near 99% of the industry. I see that Ice Cube is coming out with his own podcast called The Gatekeepers or something like that.
That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, but hey, it's very dangerous.
Even Eazy-E, did you know that? Eazy-E.
Yeah, what about Eazy-E?
Gay or bisexual.
I didn't know
a lot of things to get the record deals, and I know because my dad was in that whole arena and told me.
You know what's crazy? I heard that too. As a matter of fact, his son made a diss record to some guys in the industry because they said not only that they said his dad was doing gay activity with I don't know what Dr. Dre, but we know Dr. Dre was kind of, you know, gay or whatever. Tupac exposed that.
Yep.
Yeah, he
and
definitely.
So is Snoop.
Yep. And they said that his daddy worshiped Satan too. That's what I heard. Now,
a lot of people got caught up in that because, you know, I mean, that whole music industry is a whole, you know, I don't per se believe in the devil and this and that, but I think people can be devilish. I believe people can be devilish and people can worship bad things. And so I definitely feel like there's people in the music industry that want to kind of promote their interests, which are devilish, and they make you go through rituals and like, yeah, I believe in all that.
Yeah. And it's crazy how the industry humiliates people by making them do things that they don't want to do and getting them drunk, popping pills in their drinks, giving them champagne, and then, you know, recording them. If you don't sign this deal, if you don't do these mini records, if you don't do this, do that, we're going to expose you. Because half of them kill themselves. A lot of them committed suicide. A lot of them didn't do what the elites told them to do with the Jews. They kill them, then they clone them. And I just believe in all this bullshit they call conspiracy theories. It's not a conspiracy no more when they're doing it right in your face.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. You know, and that's why my dad kind of left that whole arena of, you know, he kind of just became his own artist and did his own thing. He ended up selling some of his music to Russia and, like, just doing a lot of just things on his own. And, you know, I actually was a songwriter and singer when I was young. I never thought I was going to go to law school. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for that, like, people who break away. You know, now, you know, in the industry, like, now we have all this technology. We don't have to spend, you know, we don't have to gatekeep, you know what I'm saying? Like, what Ice Cube is saying, we don't have to follow the gatekeepers, and I'm so grateful that it's like that now.
That is true. And I noticed, you know, by you being a daddy's girl or whatever, he taught you a lot because you're talented already all the way around the board, writing, music, dancing, I mean, you name it, you know. You got a couple college degrees under your belt, correct?
Yeah, college degree and a law degree, yep.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope. So, you know, your father might have, you know, might not been perfect or whatever, but in your eyes, he was a hero. And, you know, I like to see that because I want my daughter to look at me the same way. You know, when I get old and damn near senile and can't walk and barely pick up a spoon to eat, I want her to be there for me, not put me in a nursing home and, you know, help take care of her father, just like I took care of her, you know. And it's always good to have those daughters. That daughter, that's nothing more special than a daughter and a father relationship.
I really think that's true because, I mean, you know, you're going to have your mama's boy relationships too, or your mom-daughter, your father-son relationship. But the father-daughter relationship is so important because the father sets the tone of what kind of man the woman is going to be with, you know. And in some ways, it was kind of bad for me with my dad because he was always like, go after the heart, not the material thing, you know. But my dad, even though he was somewhat of a provider, there was always a woman there that helped him provide, you know. And I always thought about it like, I want to go after the person's heart. Like, what do they care about? You know, what's important to them, you know?
For sure.
Anybody that I want to be with, I want them to be my hero. Like, my dad was my hero, you know. But at the same time, there were a lot of bad things about him not being that traditional provider. And it's like, sometimes as a woman, you know, I feel like it causes me to not necessarily settle for less, but it makes me feel like it's okay if he's not the breadwinner. And a lot of these guys out here will take advantage of that. A lot of guys out here, they're unfortunately, and especially in Atlanta, they ain't doing as well as a lot of the black women, and they'll take advantage of that. So there are some things that, you know, have kind of impacted the way I look at men.
Yeah, respect. We need to stop making excuses, and as black men, and step our game up and come together, because too many of us spoke our chest out and killing one another, first and foremost, especially the younger generation.
Yeah,
they just filling up the morgues and the graveyards like a motherfucker. And that's why, speaking of fathers, it's always good to have that father figure, that testosterone and that authority in that home, because I don't know if you agree or disagree, but a woman can't really raise a boy to be a man. It takes a father to do that. And just like a girl needs that father figure to show her the ropes and what type of guys to deal with and what type of guys not to deal with, because her mother can be different. But this guy can see things in other men that her mother can't see. You see how that works?
Yeah, and I think definitely, like, my dad... That, you know what, as I got older though, because my dad was so crazy about protecting me and everything, there were some times where people in the family tried to hide who I was dating, because I used to pick really badly, and just was like, oh, but this guy, he doesn't have a car, but he has a good heart, you know? And people kind of hid that from my dad because they're like, her dad's gonna go to jail if he really finds out what's going on, you know? And so they kind of hid that from him. But there has been times where my dad has had to get on the phone like, I'll kill you, leave my daughter alone. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, as women, we need to learn that lesson. Like, do I really want my daddy to go to jail over this decision I'm about to make? You know? And that's how the whole family structure works together. Like, it forces you to make better choices.
Yeah, it does. It's always good to have that wise man in that household that's going to keep things level and keep things in control. But I will say this. I'm going to say two things, actually. A family that prays together stays together. A happy wife, a happy life, a happy mother, a happy home. Because when that woman is unsettled and dissatisfied, there's going to be some chaos in that home. But when she's good, she's calm, she laid back, she eating good and watching her movies, her stories, and her nails and toes are done, then that man gonna be happy, because that man is in distress when that woman's in distress. And the children are too. The energy is a motherfucker, man. Trust me.
I definitely agree with that. Like, women are nurturers. We naturally want peace. we naturally, that's why if you ever notice, like, the women that have a lot of money, most of the time they're like, I want a guy who has a sense of humor and, you know, who can diffuse the situation. If I'm mad, you know, he knows how to come up behind me and just grab me and just hug me and, you know, so I release the tension. Like, I think a lot of women, when they're not worried about money, because, you know, of course, this economy, we're all worried about that. When they're not worried about that, then they just want the man who can take control of a situation, which most of the time for women means diffusing the stress. Anything that causes us stress is a problem. So, I mean, I definitely agree with that.
For sure. Anything else you'd like to touch on before we end this episode? Anything?
No. I mean, this was a good episode. And, you know, thanks for having me, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Such a intelligent queen. Don't thank me. I should be thanking you. And, you know, we need to enlighten people what's going on out here. There are households in the past and even current day, modern day, that has fathers that are single, that's raising his kids on his own, and he ain't really getting the help that he needs or deserves, as well as the mothers, because we can never discredit them. You know, and, you know, regardless of what your parents did for you or didn't do for you, still love and obey your parents, because, you know, you have to honor thy mother and father at the end of the day. And, you know, we appreciate y'all listening. I'll be bringing y'all some more heat soon, and most definitely she'll be coming back. And I mean, you know, introduce her again and invite her again, because, you know, it's a good episode. We'll be touching on other topics. Other than that, y'all stay cool, stay clean, stay safe, and stay dangerous. Oh no.